Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Jesse James, Last Rebel of the Civil War by T.J. Styles is a historical biography that reinterprets one of the most familiar figures in American outlaw lore. Rather than treating Jesse James mainly as a frontier bandit, romantic rebel, or Robin Hood figure, Styles places him inside the violent political world of Civil War and Reconstruction Missouri. The book argues that James emerged from the brutal guerrilla conflict between secessionists and unionists and carried that partisan identity into his post-war robberies in public. Image. Styles combines biography with political and social history, showing how memory, journalism, family networks, and regional loyalties helped turn criminal violence into a legend. The result is not a simple debunking of myth, but a study of how myth served political purposes. The book is especially concerned with the continuity between wartime irregular warfare and peacetime banditry, making it a work of Civil War history as much as outlaw biography. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Jesse James is a Confederate guerrilla rather than a frontier folk hero. A central contribution of the book is its insistence that Jesse James cannot be understood primarily through the mythology of the Western outlaw. Styles presents James as a product of Missouri guerrilla warfare, where the Civil War was not only a clash between armies, but also a neighborhood conflict marked by raids, executions, retaliation, and deep partisan hatred. James fought with Confederate irregulars as a teenager, and that experience shaped both his methods and his political identity. This interpretation challenges the familiar image of James as a defender of ordinary farmers against banks and railroads. Styles does not deny that such institutions were targets, but he argues that the choice of targets often made sense in a post-war political environment where railroads, banks, express companies, and unionist authority were associated with the victorious order. The biography, therefore, shifts the question from whether James was brave or charismatic to why his violence resonated with former Confederates. By grounding the outlaw career in Civil War allegiances, the book turns a legendary criminal into evidence of an unfinished conflict. Secondly, Missouri Reconstruction as the setting for continued partisan violence. The book gives unusual weight to Missouri as a border state with bitter internal divisions. Rather than treating it as a background for adventure, Missouri had unionists, secessionists, slaveholders, migrants, and divided communities living in close proximity. During the war, that mixture produced intense guerrilla conflict. After the war, Reconstruction did not simply end these hostilities. Former Confederates faced political restrictions, unionists held power in many settings, and memories of wartime violence remained immediate. Styles uses this environment to explain why James could be seen by some supporters not merely as a thief, but as a continuing rebel against the post-war settlement. The point is not that every robbery was a coherent political manifesto, but that James operated in a society where crime could be interpreted through partisan loyalties. This helps explain the persistence of sympathy for him, despite murder and robbery. The book, therefore, treats Reconstruction as a contested social order, where law enforcement, voting rights, economic modernization, and wartime memory were intertwined. James becomes a lens for seeing how fragile peace could be after formal surrender. Thirdly, the public creation of the Jesse James legend through newspapers and allies. Styles pays close attention to the making of James as a public figure, especially through newspapers and sympathetic writers. Jesse James did not become famous only because he committed robberies. He became famous because his actions were interpreted, publicized, and framed in ways that appealed to a particular audience. One important part of the book is its attention to pro-Confederate journalism and the role of political storytelling in recasting criminal acts as defiance. But public letters, newspaper coverage, and the language of grievance helped turn James from a fugitive into a symbol. This matters because legends are not accidental byproducts of fame. They are built through repeated explanations that select some facts and suppress others. The Robin Hood image, for example, depends on presenting robbery as moral redistribution, even when evidence for that claim is weak. Styles shows how James benefited from a culture ready to interpret him as a representative of defeated Confederate honor. The result is a biography that examines reputation as carefully as action, showing that the legend was part of the historical phenomenon, not a later decorative addition. Fourthly, banditry as political performance and targeted intimidation. One of the book's most debated implications is that James and his associates practiced a form of politically meaningful violence after the Civil War. Styles does not reduce every act to ideology, nor does he portray James as a disciplined political theorist. Instead, he argues that the robberies, killings, and public gestures often drew power from their partisan symbolism. Banks, railroads, express companies, and officials could stand for the post-war order associated with Union victory, modern finance, and Republican authority. In this framework, banditry was not random frontier disorder. It could operate as performance, intimidation, and revenge, communicating that former Confederate resistance had not disappeared. This approach also complicates moral interpretation. A politically motivated crime is not made noble by its motivation, but recognizing the motivation helps explain why it attracted protection, silence, or admiration in some communities. Styles, therefore, treats James as both a criminal and a political actor. That combination is important because it avoids two simpler readings, the sentimental outlaw hero and the apolitical psychopath. The book instead places violence within networks of loyalty, fear, memory, and public meaning. Lastly, a revisionist biography built from social context rather than isolated adventure, the structure and method of the book distinguish it from many popular accounts of Jesse James. Instead of organizing the life mainly as a sequence of robberies, escapes, and betrayals, Styles embeds those events in a broader interpretation of 19th century America. Family background, slavery, secessionist politics, guerrilla warfare, Reconstruction law, press culture, and economic change all become part of the explanation. This method allows the biography to revise the standard outlaw narrative without depending on simple contradiction. Styles does not merely say that the legend is false. He shows why the legend was attractive, who had reasons to sustain it, and how it fit unresolved conflicts over the Civil War. The approach also benefits from treating James as a historical problem rather than a romantic character. Readers see how evidence, memory, and ideology interact in biography. Because James left a complicated and often mythologized record, the historian must weigh public claims against patterns of action and context. The book stands out by making that process visible, offering a model for how to study famous figures whose reputations have been shaped by partisan memory and popular entertainment. In conclusion, Jesse James' Last Rebel of the Civil War is best suited for readers who want more than a colorful outlaw narrative. It will appeal to students of the Civil War, Reconstruction, Missouri history, political violence, and American mythmaking, as well as general readers willing to follow a detailed historical argument. Its practical intellectual value lies in showing how legends form around real violence and how public memory can convert partisan crime into heroic resistance. Readers gain a clearer understanding of why Jesse James mattered to post-war America and why his reputation endured beyond the facts of his robberies. Compared with more conventional outlaw biographies, the book stands out because it treats James less as a Western curiosity and more as an unresolved consequence of the Civil War. Styles connects personal biography to institutions, newspapers, regional politics, and wartime trauma, giving the subject greater historical weight. The book is also valuable as an example of revisionist biography that does not simply replace one myth with another. It asks what social conditions made the myth persuasive in the first place. For readers interested in how violence, politics, and memory overlap, it offers a rigorous and distinctive account of an often simplified American figure. If you would like to support TJ Styles, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.